Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Andrew Kern, and you are listening to Ask Andrew. In the previous episode, I addressed this question: will the temple pattern help my child love learning? I said yes, but I concluded with these words. I said that the solution to principles and elements being really abstract and uninteresting is to encounter the reality. Those were my words, to encounter the reality. And then I said, read the living poem, contemplate the living Pythagorean theorem, the living idea, and play with the living puppy. You probably won't be surprised to know that that raised a question. And the question is, how can I make sure my child or my student encounters the reality of some history or math or grammar? This is a great question. I'm going to address it. But first, a quick reminder. You probably have noticed that this is Ask Andrew, and that I am answering questions. And also, my name's Andrew. Well, if you have a question for Ask Andrew, please send it to us. Go to the website, circeinstitute.org/askandrew, and there will be a form there, and you can write your question and get it to me. I just really want to emphasize that it doesn't say slash Andrew. That would be a bad thing. It's slash Ask Andrew. All right. A second thing I want to mention before I address the specific question is, I want to invite you to the Circe Apprenticeship. For nearly 20 years, Circe Apprenticeship has been equipping teachers to understand the nature and the principles of classical education, showing how those principles can be brought back to any classroom and to any home. And our Circe Apprenticeship has been long recognized as the flagship teacher development program within the Classical Renewal. And now it's been officially recognized. You can now get credit towards a master's degree if you participate in the Circe Apprenticeship. Schools are looking for Circe Apprenticeship graduates to teach. And here's the good news. Your time has come. We have seats for the 24-25 school year. And if you want to practice mimetic teaching, Socratic teaching, if you want to read Homer, Virgil, Shakespeare, David Hicks, to live out teaching and education among a community of learners, if you'd like to join fellow teachers who love learning, who want to cultivate wisdom and virtue in their students, visit the Circe website, circeinstitute.org/apprenticeship. Now, as I said in the previous session, the question I answered was, will the temple pattern help my child love learning? And I said yes. But the follow-up question became, how can I make sure my child encounters the reality of something like history, math, or grammar? So I'm assuming that something like means something, let's say, kind of abstract, something even conventional. I do have a response. In fact, I have a very simple answer. Unfortunately, it might not be as easy as it is simple. In fact, it's going to take a couple sessions to explain it. But I think the payoff is worth it. See, there's a problem. The problem is words like history, math, grammar, they don't mean what they used to mean. In fact, I would argue they don't typically even mean what they should mean. These words don't mean what they used to mean, and it's worse than that. It's not just that the words we use don't mean what they used to mean. It's that we don't live the same world as the people who came up with those words. So we're going to have to think about that. We're going to have to think about three things. One, what kind of world do we live in? Two, how can we encounter its reality? And three, how should we teach, given numbers 1 and 2? I said there was a simple answer to the question, so I'm going to give you that simple answer to you now. And then I'm going to address the challenges that it raises. And this is the answer. To encounter the reality of something like history or math or grammar, what you need to do is, for lack of a better term, because I don't think there is one, what you need to do is receive them as what they are and don't turn them into something else. What? What on earth does that mean? Well, history comes from a Greek word, historia, and it actually means inquiry. History is an inquiry. It's a search into the question, how did we get here? So don't turn it into anything else. Don't turn it into ideological studies or political propaganda. Just let it be history. Grammar. Grammar is the art of interpreting signs. Now, we can simplify grammar to, say, the structure of language. But if we do, that puts the material cause over the final cause. In other words, we're looking at the elements and maybe some principles, but basically the structure of the language is the elements properly arranged. But it's not the purpose of grammar. The purpose of grammar is to learn how to interpret signs. It is the art of interpreting signs. And then geometry. Geometry is the art of deductive reasoning applied to forms in space. Teach the art of deductive reasoning applied to forms in space. Later, I'm going to have more to say on what we call subjects. I'll have more on in future episodes. But right now, the important thing, the principle of whatever it is you're teaching. If I have a student thinking one thing, or thinking he's thinking about one thing, but he's actually encountering something else, he's not likely to like that. He's probably going to be confused, and generally speaking, people don't like being confused. If you want your child to enjoy, to love, to experience history, then let your child encounter history. If you want your child to learn to love geometry and grammar and rhetoric and logic, the natural sciences, then let them encounter them, not something else. And the biggest enemy, for now this is just a side point, but it's the enemy I can think of. The biggest enemy for not encountering the reality of things is textbooks. Generally speaking, the textbook is a dissection of dead things. The questions that they're reading in a textbook, that the textbook asks them, usually, not always, but usually, are questions the students should have been asking themselves anyway. Or else they're questions that aren't worth asking. When you're reading a text or wanting to learn a subject, that's not the time to answer somebody else's questions. It's the time to generate your own questions and answer them. And the textbook gets in the way of that. You encounter the reality of a thing when you ask the questions that the thing raises in your minds. When you encounter it, you encounter the reality of a thing by receiving that thing, not by ruling it and not by dictating to it what it is, and not by somebody else telling you what it is from the side and what you should think about it. You encounter it by encountering it, by receiving it. So let me give you an example. Something happened to me today, this morning. This morning, the staff here at Searcy and I, we met and we discussed a poem by T.S. Eliot, Choruses from the Rock. I was leading the discussion, and all I did was say to them, what do you see? And while we read it, but then I would say, what do you see? And then what else do you see? I was very specific. Just tell me what's right there on the surface. Now, sometimes I've asked those questions, and especially teenagers, but even adults, sometimes, mostly men, I'll admit, somebody will say, words. This time nobody said words. But if they had said words, I would have celebrated it. Why? Because that's what's in front of us. That's what I asked for. To hear somebody say right out loud words, they might even be thinking that they're being quite clever and cheeky and being a smart aleck. But the fact is, that's what I want to know. What do you see? You see words? tell me. They're encountering the real words, words on paper. If they told me that, then I would say, great, what else do you see? And then they would tell me more that they saw. Now, in the reading today, T.S. Eliot was describing London, the suburbs, the countryside around London. And he was doing it in a very interesting kind of way, certainly not in a sing-song kind of way, but in a swinging back and forth kind of way. And all kinds of things came out of discussing that. All kinds of things, and please note this, all kinds of things that I did not notice when I was reading it on my own, when I was preparing for the discussion. In fact, don't tell anybody I told you this, but I really didn't prepare very much for the discussion. I didn't need to. All I had to do was be ready to say to them, hey, let's look at this and talk about it. We encountered the reality of the poem by reading it and by looking at it. I didn't say what I thought the poem meant at all. They did say what they thought things meant. That's what humans do. That's what I wanted them to do as long as it wasn't too hasty. We interpret signs. Those letters, those words, paragraphs, verses, structures, all of these things were available to them. All of those are signs. In this discussion were people aged 19 to 64. All of them had something to say. All of them had some experience to bring into it. Some of them had been to London. Others hadn't. Some had, all of them had seen rivers. Some had seen the Thames, and others hadn't. All of them had been in suburbs. All of them have encountered things that were in the poem, in other words. You might remember from the last poem I talked about things being connatural. This isn't that exactly, but it's analogous to it. It's not exactly the same thing. What I mean is this, though. If I've been to a river, then I can better understand a river anywhere. The rivers are connatural. If I've been to a spring flowing out of a mountainside, I can better understand the Thames. If I've been to the Mississippi, then I can even more perhaps better understand the Thames. They inform each other. By being looked at against each other, they reveal themselves to the observer. Not as content, not as a test, not as a thing that we're going to file away when we're done. No, we're going to encounter the real thing. And yes, we're going to pair it to our own experience because that gives us insight into the thing we're looking at. My role then mainly is to say, what do you see? Christians in modern culture face treacherous mountainous terrain. Biased research, ideologies, fragmented narratives converge to confuse and disorient us. Those who seek to live whole, meaningful, godly lives face a steep and challenging climb. Fortunately, living a life devoted to truth, wisdom, and goodness is not a climb that students have to prepare for alone. In pursuing a Bachelor of Arts degree in liberal arts at Gutenberg College, students become equipped for this life by reading and discussing the great books of the Western tradition. Their mentors are caring and thoughtful Christian tutors. Their guides are Plato, St. Augustine, Dostoevsky, and others who have thought carefully about how to navigate complex cultures with wisdom and integrity. In a world where college education has become narrowly limited to career success, a Gutenberg education can give you more than a job. It can give you a life. When you understand the past, you can thrive in the present and navigate the future. You can know how to care for others, serve with confidence in your vocation, and stay true to what matters most. Not only that, but at Gutenberg, you can pursue a humane education at a humane price. To find out more about how a Gutenberg education can help you cultivate wisdom that will serve you for a lifetime, visit www.gutenberg.edu. And one of the things I want to emphasize here is that teaching in the pattern of the temple, teaching this way, makes teaching a lot more interesting. Let me rephrase that. It does make teaching interesting, but it makes what you teach a lot more interesting. No, let me rephrase that. It makes the interestingness of the thing that you're teaching easier to see. So how do you encounter the reality of a poem by T.S. Eliot? By looking at it. By showing each other what we saw. by letting what was in our minds be shared. Not by limiting it to some kind of, you know, reader response, sort of, this is what it all means to me. What, honestly, I wouldn't have strongly minded if somebody said, this is what it means to me, but I wouldn't have been content. I would have pushed it. I would have compared it to what other people think it means to them. And I would have tried to determine, is this just his opinion or is this actually something that's in the poem? Is this just a person putting his own meaning on the poem or her own meaning? Or is it actually there? And let me emphasize, that's one of the habits we need to teach children. Looking for meaning that's actually truly there. I also didn't tell them, these are the principles of poetry interpretation. All I said was, what do you see? Well, there was another question. I also asked, how does this part here relate to that part there? There's a lot of different ways to ask this question. How are the parts related? I might have said, what did Reed read earlier that talks about the same thing? Or I might have said, what have you seen in other poems that talk about this? It's that basic. It's the concept of relationships. If you can get a look at how parts of it relate to each other, then you're not cutting it up. You're examining the whole. You're looking at the whole. You're moving in the direction of analyzing, but you're moving in the direction of analyzing the right way. It will give rise to principles and it will give rise to elements, but that's not the starting point. The starting point is experience. We're just looking. If we go right to the principles of literary interpretation or elements or whatever, it just gets in the way. I want to tell you something that I came out of that discussion with. I just wanted to encounter the reality of the poem with my team. I just wanted to engage it. What happened was I can respect the poem in ways I hadn't previously. I came to see things in the poem that I couldn't see, but others could. I came to respect, I'll even say I came to love the poem and my team a little bit more. That's pretty magical. I'm Andrew Kern, and you've been listening to the Ask Andrew podcast. May the Lord remember you in his kingdom.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.